Yes, today is Joy Sunday, and you never know what might happen on Joy Sunday, right? Just for me. Many years ago, my entire family was gathered up north in a big house, my parents and all my siblings and their spouses. At that time, there were only a handful of grandkids. It was getting late, and my niece, Sarah, not even a year old yet, was getting ready to go to bed. Everyone was gathered in the main living room, and of course, as children do, Sarah was avoiding going to bed. And who can blame her? No one wants to miss out when everyone else is up, right? And everyone is together. My niece had not yet walked at this stage of her young life, though she had been holding the furniture and walking along couches by that time. This house had no TV, and it was before the age of everyone having their own cell phone. And so all of us, my brother had pulled out a guitar, and many of us were kind of already sitting in a circle of sorts on the floor. And at some point in that moment, young Sarah stood up from her mom's lap, and someone on the other side of the circle held out their arms and did what we all do at that stage, right? Come here, come and see me. She stood there steadily looking across the room while we all held our breaths for a moment and then started to encourage her on. You can do it, Sarah. And then she did. She did. She didn't take just one or two steps either. She walked all the way across the large circle, probably 10 or 12 steps, with all of us laughing and clapping and cheering her on, right? The look on her face that day, pure joy. And all the rest of us too, right? Such a simple thing, but that sense of accomplishment and shared with a group of people that we loved, it was a moment I will never forget. Many years ago, I even had a picture of her taking those first steps hanging in my office because I didn't want to forget that feeling of joy. We had planned a family vacation, but we had not planned on this moment of shared joy and laughter. I had experienced unexpected joy, and I wanted to remember it forever. You know, there's many stories of joy in the Bible, but I think the one that is the most memorable to me is always the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. We've been talking during Advent about the people who were a part of Jesus' entrance into our world. Mary, who taught us about hope. Joseph, who taught us about peace. Today, we're going to look at the shepherds. Now, before we read the passage, let's think for a moment about shepherds. And let me share with you a little about what we know about them from history. As a group, shepherds had a bad reputation. Apparently, they had a habit of adding to their flocks in whatever way they could. Get my drift? When they were out and about, they maybe would take a few here and a few there. So therefore, legal historians say that their word was not allowed back then as a testimony in a court of law. It assumed that shepherds could not be trusted. And as they spent long amounts of time out in the wilderness, they could not keep up all the religious purity and cleanliness laws that the good Jews kept. They couldn't go to temple very often. And likely those who did go to temple were probably relieved, as they wouldn't have smelled very good if they did show up. So it makes perfect sense that God would send angels to shepherds to announce that Jesus was born, right? Ah, the upside-down ways of God continue. So let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. You can follow in your Bible if you'd like. Most of it will be familiar to many of you. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Then suddenly a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel praising God, and they said together, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what has happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. And everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. Now listen, I think some people can read that story in a flat, boring way, I guess, but I can't. I can't even get my head around how amazing it must have been to see and hear an angel choir singing those words of announcement. Let's try to put ourselves in the shepherd's shoes for a few moments and possibly learn a few things from them about joy. First, joy is often unexpected. I guarantee you that not a single shepherd sat down that night in the field thinking they were going to see an angel, a choir of angels, or leave their sheep to go try to find a baby lying in a manger that night. No one planned for my niece to take her first steps past bedtime with every family in the room cheering her on. Joy sneaks up on us. Sometimes it terrifies us at the beginning from the surprise and the shock. But if we let it in, it creates at least a memory to hold on to during the darker times. And sometimes, like for the shepherds, it may create something life-changing. Let's embrace the unexpected sometimes and let joy overtake you. This morning during first service, one of our little four-year-olds crawled from the back pew all the way underneath all the pews to the front and all the way to the back while I was preaching about joy. Now, some of us would go, oh, they shouldn't do that. But isn't that just the right thing for a joy message? The unexpected, a child showing up between your legs? Joy is often unexpected. The other unexpected is this scarf I just got, given to me during Sunday school this morning, that perfectly matches my outfit on Joy Sunday, right? Joy is often unexpected. Take it in, receive it. One of our funniest family members came from a very frustrating ride on a one-lane, one-way, at least 5-mile loop down in a historical area called Cades Cove. It was packed with people, and we were stop and go for what felt like hours, and there was no way out. One lane, one way, one road. We had thought the whole trip would take us an hour, hour and a half. I'm not sure how many hours later, we're still slowly inching our way through. Trapped in this car with no end in sight, Lena made a funny comment, and something really boring became the funniest thing, and we all got the giggles. Still to this day, if you say, "Stopping for a drink?" with anyone who was in the car that day, we will smile again. No one expected our trip to look the way it did, but we took the unexpected and found joy that will last for years to come. Joy is often unexpected. Number two, sometimes joy is seeing something no one else has seen. I really love that the shepherds got to see and hear the angel choir. The guys that the judges and lawyers wouldn't trust to tell the truth, God chose to give the truth to them. It kind of reminds me of what we've been seeing in the Gospel of Mark this fall. God has a different way of spreading his message, doesn't he? Jesus, remember, kept telling people not to tell others about how he had healed them. And then God sends the announcement of his son's birth to a group of people that no one will believe. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And here, once again, we see that it's true. The shepherds are some of the few living people who have seen an angel choir. And what I love is they told everyone about it. They had an amazing experience no one else had, and perhaps for the rest of their lives, they lived to tell that story. A few years ago in December, I heard about meteor showers. Has anyone ever gone out specifically to look at the meteor showers? And it was in December that year, they were supposed to be particularly bright for some reason. So I kind of got an idea, and I invited some of our friends, and our whole family went out to Charlotte to a park way in the dark with our winter gear and our blankets, and we laid them out on the ground, and everybody was flat on their back watching for meteors. We were pretty early in the evening because all the kids were young, so there probably weren't as many as there were later in the evening, but it was so fun to hear one of the kids say, "Right there, I saw it. Did you see it? Did you see it?" There's this joy in being the first to see something and then trying to tell other people about it. The shepherds couldn't contain themselves, and they went into the village telling everyone about what they had seen. Joy. Third, joy is when you finally get to be first. I'm thinking about those shepherds being out of the village, and likely they were always the last people to find out any news, right? Important or unimportant, I can imagine them coming in after being out for a few days, and others always getting to say, "Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know that this happened?" And them thinking, "I'm always the last one to know," right? The least important. And they probably often just felt forgotten. But this time, God's upside-down kingdom shows up, and Jesus' words in Matthew 20:16 came true even before Jesus said them. "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Finally, the shepherds were first. When Lena was probably about 9 years old, we took a trip to Chicago on the train. When we were headed home, we got to the train station, and there were hundreds of people in the big open area in the train station, a huge room with people everywhere. And Matt and I started to get worried about the four of us getting seats together on the next train. I don't know if you've ever ridden that train, but there are not assigned seats. You just all line up and then make a run for seats. And of course, both our kids were little, and we desperately wanted all four of us to sit together. They eventually announced for us to line up for certain trains. And when we did, a bunch of people were in front of us when suddenly the magic happened. The woman lining everyone up, came right down the line of people right to Lena and said, would you like to hold the number banner for our line? And of course, she shyly and excitedly said, yeah. At which point, the whole family was escorted to the front of the line, where Lena proudly held the banner high and led our line right to the train, and we were the first ones on with the pick of our seats. We went from feeling lost and last to being first. Joy. Jesus loves the underdog, the leftover, the ones who feel left out, last place, and overlooked. The angels announced his birth to shepherds, and Jesus has been announcing himself to the least ever since. Number 4, joy is whole body participation. Now, I know you're all getting a little sleepy and probably hungry about now, so we've also got some awesome kids who have been so quiet and wonderful during service today, but I think we all need a little brain break, as Miss Brittany would say. So if you would all stand up. Yeah, that means you. Everybody, stand up. And we are going to do something that I love to do in the nursery. And you have to participate. You can't just sing. You have to do the motions with me. And I'm pretty sure you all know this song, so don't pretend like you don't. And my only thing is, watch your head, okay? Don't bump your head while we're doing this. I don't want that unexpected unjoy today, okay? So the song goes like this. Do it with me. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, and eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head and shoulders, knees and toes. Excellent. You guys are good. You may be seated. Now you're all woken up. You got everything moving again. Now, I had the front row view to all of you, and guess what? All of you who were doing the song with the motions were smiling. Because it's impossible to do that song and do the motions and not smile, if only out of embarrassment, right? It brings out the smile. It's funny how using our whole bodies gives us joy. And how truly experiencing joy affects our whole bodies. Walter Wangren wrote a beautiful devotion reflection on this idea of how the shepherds participated in this story with their whole bodies. And how this relates in some ways to the stages of faith. First, the shepherds, they used their ears. They heard the good news from the angels. And though they were first afraid, obviously, when we experience something new, we are first afraid, right? But I think their fear turned into fascination and wonder. What am I hearing? What is this about? I need to do something about what I just heard. So they not only used their ears, but then they used their feet. They ran to find out if what they heard was true. They tried it out. They ran through the darkness and the night, but they found what they were looking for. And then the shepherds used their eyes to see. They saw Mary and Joseph. And they saw baby Jesus. I love the last line of this passage I read. Everything happened just as they had been told. As they say, seeing is believing, right? And they saw Jesus. But it didn't stop there. They heard, they ran, they saw, and then they used their tongues. They had to talk about it. They needed to tell others what they had heard and done and seen. They didn't try to talk themselves out of the miracle. They told about the miracle to everyone they saw. They made it more and more real by the telling and the retelling. And they couldn't help themselves. It reminds me of my friend John, who recently experienced a miracle of healing. Just after his wife had been cleared of cancer, he went to the doctor and they found a tumor in him. At first, he said he didn't want to tell anyone about it, but then he realized, wait, all of these people who love us have been praying for my wife. Why wouldn't I ask for prayer too? And a week later, he went back in and they went to check it, and none of it was a problem. He was healed. And it's funny. I've seen John 3 times since that happened to him, and each time he has told me that story. Why? Because joy overtakes us. It takes over our ears, our feet, our eyes, and our tongues. We have to tell what we have seen. And as Wangerin tells us, it takes over not just our tongues, but our full voices. It says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Joy leads us to worship, to want to say thank you to God, to want to tell how great God is, to maybe even sing, even some of us who just make a joyful noise. I'm guessing the shepherds, some of them maybe were singers and probably a lot of them weren't. And yet they returned glorifying and praising God. This whole body participation reminds me of the verse in Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a whole body participation. Hearing about Jesus, running to find Jesus, seeing Jesus ourselves leads us to telling others about what we have seen and using our voices to praise him. Whole body faith and joy. And number 5, joy travels home with you. The last bit of this story is that the shepherds returned home, it said. I love this. They went back to the same place, but they did not go back the same. Home will change because they have changed. They have experienced Jesus, and they've experienced joy, and they will forever see the world in a different way. As we head into this last week of Advent and into Christmas next week, my prayer is that you, like Mary, will find hope by seeing how God sees. I pray that you, like Joseph, will find peace by listening to what God says. And I pray that you, like the shepherds, will find joy by participating with your whole body in the good news of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the gift of joy. Thank you for the gift of joy that creates memories deep in our brains that we can recall again and again to bring a smile to our face, to remind us even in the darkest nights that joy was once there, it still exists, and that perhaps we can find it again. Thank you for the gift of joy that allows us to share it together. Only you, God, could come up with all of these different gifts that are both emotions, but also realities. And Lord, I pray for each person in this room. Lord, would you show us this week the gift of joy? May we be able to hold perhaps some sorrow right in the same hand with the gift of joy. Give us the courage to spread that joy to others. Open our mouths, use our tongues and our voices to speak of what you have done, of how you have been with us. Make us bearers of your joy. Make us messengers of joy, just like the shepherds. May we go out with joy, praising you for who you are and all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.